Praise the Lord. Let's get our Bibles out this morning. And let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at verses 1 and 2 this morning. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Everybody said Christ. It's talking about Christ Jesus. Amen. When we look at the Word of God, the Bible, and it is the Word of God, it is what I would call the book of Jesus Christ. From the very beginning to the very end, it's all about Him. It's all about the Lord coming down, amen, blessing us with salvation by His own hand. Amen. Not sending someone else to do His dirty work for Him, but He came, robed Himself in flesh, and came to save us. What a beautiful, beautiful story it is this morning. And Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and he said that they were all baptized. Everybody said baptized. They were baptized unto Moses in the sea, or in the cloud, and in the sea. That's water and spirit right there. I want to talk about shadows this morning, and I want to focus my attention upon baptism. And many of you have been baptized in Jesus' name this morning. But we need to understand what took place, and that it is not just something that somebody came up with, but it was given to us in the Old Testament as well. And I want to look at it here this morning for just a little bit. And if you want to title this, you can just title it Shadows of Baptism. Shadows of Baptism. Let's pray and ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank You for the touch of Your Spirit. We thank You for Your presence this morning. Ask You, Lord, to lay Your hand upon this message. Put it in the young people's hearts. Put it in the elderly this morning and everybody in between. We ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. And I wanted to use the chalkboard this morning because I wanted to look at three different shadows in the Old Testament, even though there are more than that. But we believe in the New Testament, and we follow the teachings of the New Testament apostles, because the Bible says that we are founded upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. And the prophets foretold of what was going to come, and Jesus Christ came and taught His disciples, and then they carried it on for future generations. And that's why we're here this morning, because of the ministry of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. And to understand the Old Testament, there are many today that are discounting the Old Testament and say it's not for us today and everything has been passed away. If you hear that, you can understand that they don't really understand or know the great significance of the Old Testament. And in fact, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, Brother Reed, when you get there, would you like to read that? Everybody said the schoolmaster. Schoolmaster, that's the professor, that's the teacher. Amen. Thank you for reading that this morning. Get me Ephesians 2 and verse 20. And I've already quoted this, but I want to read it so You can see it for yourself and go there yourself. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. We know that the Old Testament is our schoolmaster that teaches us of Christ. And so there are shadows in the Old Testament, shadows that represent things that have not come to pass yet, examples of spiritual things that are coming. And we read this morning that they ate of the spiritual meat, but we know that it was just a figure of spiritual meat. It was literal food that they ate. It was literal water that they drank, but it was a representation of spiritual water and spiritual meat. Amen. Ephesians there, read for us.
And are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Amen. We're on a solid foundation here this morning. This is not just something that somebody put together, but we find it in the Word of God. And so the Old Testament is our teacher or our professor to help us to understand God's way now in the New Testament. The things that have been done away with in the Old Testament is the ceremonial law and the civil law that was done away with. And we could go into that this morning, but I'm not going to take the time. But that was done away with. But the spiritual and the moral aspects of the Old Testament still apply today. The moral especially and the spiritual is fulfilled in the New Testament. And so the New Testament starts out with John the Baptist, and he came to baptize. Everybody said baptize. All right, actually, I want to divide this up into three different sections. That's probably pretty close or close enough. And this one is not one we're going to talk about, but the Bible says that John came baptizing. And so we understand that the New Testament had not started yet under John the Baptist. They were still under the old law. They were still going by the old law. And so John the Baptist came baptizing. And we know that when he baptized all of Judea, they of Jerusalem. He had a mighty revival of baptism. And people were turning from their sins and coming to God. But it was Old Testament. And he baptized them in the River Jordan. And while he was baptizing, all of a sudden over a ridge came a figure, and he recognized that figure as Jesus Christ. And Jesus came and said, "I want you to baptize me." And if baptism is not important or something that God has ordained for us, and gave to us in the Old Testament as a figure, then we understand that there would not be a need for him to be baptized. He baptized unto repentance, but we know John did, but we know that Jesus Christ did not have to repent. We know that he was sinless. The Bible says that he was without sin. And so he came to be baptized, and John said, "I have need to be baptized of you. And why are you coming to me to be baptized? I'm not worthy to bow down and untie your shoes. I'm not worthy to carry your coat. I'm not worthy to do any of those things." And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be so now that we may fulfill..." Everybody said fulfill. That means to complete all righteousness. In other words, it is right that we are to be baptized. And so when we come to the New Testament on this subject of baptism, we can understand that it was a common practice in the temple. There was a washing that was taking place every day. People knew what it was like to be baptized. It was a ceremonial washing in the Old Testament. It was a an example or a representation of cleansing, ritual cleansing, before they could go into the temple or before they could stand right and holy before God. The only thing is that the shedding of blood and the washing of baptism was not spiritual. It was fleshly. It was carnal. There was no remission of sins, but it was a ritual that they went through, and it did not satisfy the need to get rid of their sins. It just allowed them to approach unto God. Amen. And so when we talk about the temple in the Old Testament under Moses, it was the tabernacle, and the tabernacle had a plan. And Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5, it says, who serve, speaking of the temple or the tabernacle, which later became the temple, who serve unto the example and shadow, everybody said shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. Amen. And we'll go back to that here in just a minute. But the example and shadow of heavenly things, you can see, if you can see here, there's a shadow on the chalkboard of a hand. It doesn't tell you what nationality it is. It doesn't tell you if it's adult or child, but it is a representation. You know that it represents a human being. And so the shadow represents something. The shadow is not the actual substance, but it is a representation of something that is the substance. Amen. Y'all got that this morning? And so he said, make sure that you make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. You know, God's a God of patterns, and God is a God of structure. Amen. God is a God who makes things for purposes and for reasons. He did not give them the plan for the tabernacle in the Old Testament just off the top of his head, but it has direct meaning for us. There are shadows. So many, many shadows in the tabernacle itself that I know there are men who study the tabernacle their whole life. I could recommend books this morning, very good books that are thick, more than one volume just on the tabernacle, and you can get some tremendous understandings out of that. Now, I know there are others that feel like you can't understand the Bible without the book of Ruth, and that's all right. You can study the book of Ruth your whole life or study the tabernacle your whole life. You know what? I choose to vary and get the whole picture. Amen. And that's not a put down. Don't misunderstand me here this morning. I appreciate Brother Mason. I really do. He's a man of the word. There are patterns here that were showed to him in the mount. That was in Mount Sinai. Some people think that Moses only received the Ten Commandments in the mountain, but he didn't just receive the commandments, he received the law. And the law was not just contained in the Ten Commandments, but it was given in all of daily life. It's very complicated, the law is. And laws concerning sacrifices and specific directions on how to build the tabernacle, where to put the boards and what to cover the boards with, and the silver sockets and the silver capiters that were on the top, what kind of animal skins to use, and how big and how wide and how tall. One example, we look at the tabernacle as a the tabernacle as a whole as a shadow of the church age. Amen. And the church age is, according to prophecy that we understand this morning, is a church age that's going to last about 2,000 years. It was the last 2 days of creation. God created life with blood in it. Before that, it was just order and inanimate things, trees and grass and herbs and all of that. But the last 2 days, which represents the church age, the 2,000 years of the church age, we understand this morning that the tabernacle was a shadow of the church age. It was 10 cubits wide, it was 20 cubits long, and it was 10 cubits high. And if you multiply those together, you get 2,000. And God is a God of specificity. Amen. God is a God who did things for a purpose. He didn't just say this wide, this long, this tall off the top of his head. Well, that sounds good, but I'm telling you, the God who inhabits all of eternity and in the span of his hand is the universe, that's a pretty small place. He could have said, I want to make it like the New Jerusalem and let's make it 1,200 miles by 1,200 miles by 1,200 miles. But he put it in a little compartment there, which represents the church. And more specifically, it represents you and I. Praise God. And how we approach unto God. And in the New Testament, it says that we are the temple of the Lord, and the Spirit of God dwells in us. Thank God for that. And so there are things, there are shadows of things to come. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. Brother Reed, help me this morning.
For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect.
All right, so there it is again, Paul writing there in Hebrews that the law had a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things. Amen. And it says that neither with those sacrifices which they offered year by year could make the comers perfect. In other words, it did not remit their sins. It was a shadow of good things to come, which was Jesus Christ and his ministry and the church. But there was something that was lacking. Amen. The animal sacrifices, the blood, you can write this down and read it when you get home, Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your soul. Amen. Beautiful scripture. And so there was blood that was required. The soul that sinneth shall die. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Paul speaking of sin and says that sin came and brought death to humanity. We are living in a body that is dying. I'm a dying man speaking to dying people this morning. And we're all going to go down the same road at some point in time. And so the death is passed onto us by sin. But the animals that came, they were flesh, and they were sinless. Amen. Those animals did not sin. There was no law about animals sinning. If there was, then the animals would have to seek after repentance, which we know that animals can't do that. But they were flesh and they had blood and they were sinless. But there was something about this that was lacking. And if we look at sin, the soul that sinneth shall die, then the penalty is not upon an animal, but the penalty is upon the human that has sinned. Amen. And so the animals were sacrificed, But what we needed was a human being that came that was sinless, and for his blood to be shed for our sins, praise God. But none of us this morning would qualify. None of the high priests in the Old Testament would qualify, because they were sinners offering sacrifices for sinners, and it had no way to take care of the situation. And so the only way that it could be done was if a man came who was God Almighty, because God himself is the only thing that is holy. Praise God. What a revelation this morning. He's the only thing that is holy. He is the only thing, and I say a thing, it's not an object, but he is the only one, ever was and ever will be, that was sinless. Amen. And so he was the only one that could take care of this sin situation. But God Almighty could not go to a cross and die, because he did not have the ability to die. He is forever. Praise God. He did not have the ability to do that. And so he conceived in a young girl a child. Amen. And when that child was born, he stepped into that body, and God Almighty, amen. Well, praise the Lord. Went all the way to the cross of Calvary, all the way until that body said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he became the sacrifice for you and I, an acceptable sacrifice for you and I. I don't know about you, but I feel the Holy Ghost this morning, and I feel like the Lord wants to give us an understanding this morning of the importance of baptism. Praise God. It was a shadow. We're going to look at some shadows here this morning. Genesis chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. And when you get there, Brother Reed, would you read that for me this morning?
In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great sea broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Mm-hmm. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights.
Amen. We know the story of Noah this morning. Some of us went to the ark, and it was a eye-opener to see how big that ship was that man and his sons built. What a tremendous thing. No wonder it took them approximately 120 years to build that. And so it tells us here about Noah and the ark. And just to look at it a little bit this morning, we can see that there was two things that were taking place. Amen. And actually more than that, but if we just look at one of them, we've got a boat here. That's my boat. And there's Noah standing up at the top of the boat. He got a smile on his face. All right, build a boat. Well, just any boat? No, build it by specific dimensions. Build it out of certain wood. Do it this way, do it so wide, so tall, so long. Amen. Not just throw it together, but there is a pattern here. There is a blueprint. Amen. God has always used blueprints and patterns for the work that he wants to do in this old world. And so Noah and his family got in the ship. And you've probably seen pictures where they have boards that are stacked up on the side of the ship and on either side to hold it up when it's in dry dock. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but big chunks of wood underneath. And I'll put a few chunks of wood underneath there to hold it up so they could work on it to stabilize the ship. And for 120 years they worked on this, and there was a message that God gave him, and it was repent. Amen.
Right.
Repent, for the judgment of God is coming upon our world. Folks, I'm telling you, we are so close to the coming of the Lord. We really are. We are so very, very close. I was doing a little bit of research, and I found out that, and it just made me think of the book of Revelation, where the judgment of God is coming upon the world, and the Fukushima nuclear power plant, four of those five reactors have literally melted down, and they are out of control, and they are melting further and further down into the ground, polluting the water, polluting the sea. 70 tons of polluted water are being pumped into the ocean every day, into the Pacific Ocean, and it hasn't stayed there, but it is now passing over America. One fisherman said, who had been out on the ocean for many, many years, he said the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, it's like it's dead. We used to see whales and dolphins and all of that, but there is no movement. Massive amounts of fish are floating up onto the shore with large growths all over them. And one individual that was flying from Japan to America had a Geiger counter with him on his flight, and an acceptable level is the number 30. It's 30 Geigers or whatever it is. And it tests for radioactive stuff in the sky. And by the time he got over the Midwest, it was almost 2,000. Amen. Right about where we live today. And the water and the air and much of what we eat today. I thought about the scripture where it says that a star called wormwood came down to the earth, and a third of the sea, everything that was in the sea, died. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you, we're so close to the coming of the Lord. As it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And others, you know, there are many that say, well, it really doesn't matter. You got this blueprint, but you're pretty hard-headed, Noah. You're pretty narrow-minded. You've only got one way to be saved, and that's God's way. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. He didn't mind stopping for a little bit and having church and preaching to his children, preaching to those that would come, but there were none that would believe, and so the rains descended. Amen. Brother Reed read that this morning, and the rains descended down upon the ark and upon the world, and all of a sudden it started piling up. You know how it is when it rains real hard. We can have that here in Kansas, and they say it's flash flooding time. Well, this was more than flash flooding, because it was not just the rain. That was the water that was above the firmament. But scientists have discovered today that there is an ocean underneath the ocean that's just as large as the ocean that's above the ground. And that goes right along with what the scripture says, that the deep was broken up and the fountains of water from the deep came up. And so it was a major shift in the earth, and the ground was broken open, and gushes of water, gushes of rivers and fountains of water came up out of the earth, and it didn't take very long for it to be cataclysmic. Amen. It did not take but just a few hours or a few days for everything to be destroyed. And so there were two things that took place here. One was salvation. Noah and his family were saved. And then there was, well, let's just put judgment. God judged the world. Amen. And so two things took place here. What we are talking about this morning is a shadow. It's a shadow of something. It represents something. And, you know, none of us are going to have any excuses because the Lord went to a lot of trouble, and Noah went to an awful lot of trouble, amen, to show you and I a shadow of what of good things to come, amen. They were being saved from a wicked world, and they came back down, and we find that after they came back down, sin entered into the world again. Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so it saved them, but it was not enough to keep them. And so the rain descended and the floods came, the Bible says, and it says that the ark was lifted up. Amen. Right. It was lifted up. All of a sudden it came off of those huge blocks of wood, and the supports on the side fell off, and all of a sudden it started to float and bob in the water. And as the water rose, there were those two things that were happening simultaneously. Salvation came and judgment came at the same time. I don't know how you believe this morning, but I believe that we are going to be lifted up above this world, and the judgment of God is going to come down upon this world. I don't believe that we are going to go through a tribulation and the wrath of God. I believe that we are going to be lifted up. Amen. The dead are going to rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And while we are on the top of things, underneath us there is going to be a massive judgment that comes upon this world. And a judgment, or as Jesus said, a tribulation that has never been and never will be again. It's that serious. You know what it really means is we need to get right with God. Amen. We do. We need to be right with God, and we need to be looking and watching for His coming. And it's brought out in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. We're talking about a shadow here this morning of baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20. And verse 21, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved. Everybody said saved. By water. Don't let anybody tell you that baptism does not save you. Amen. All right, verse 21, the like figure, and so there is the shadow, amen, the shadow of good things to come, the like figure, or in a very similar way, even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection, or the lifting up of Jesus Christ. And so the salvation that came to Noah and his family was a direct result of the water. Amen. It's kind of a different way of looking at it, but Peter brought it out that way. And at the same time, it was the water that destroyed the world. Amen. Well, what does Noah and his family represent? They represent the righteous. They represent those that are willing to go all the way with God, even if it takes 120 years. Amen. They represent the people that believe God. Who are those that are underneath here? They are the ones that do not believe, and they do not follow through with their life and the way that they live. Amen. They don't follow through. They're planning the thing. I don't know. Maybe they've got a little inner tube in the backyard they're hoping to hang on to. Maybe they've got some pie in the sky. Maybe they've got an actual boat out in the water. I go to church. Well, going to church is not enough, my friend. You've got to be in the boat. Praise God. The only people that were saved were the people that were in the boat. Amen. And the boat was made by specific directions. And so Peter says that this figure, this example, this shadow is a shadow of baptism. What a beautiful picture. Amen. What a beautiful picture. And so the next we look at is the Exodus. The Exodus. Everybody said the Exodus. And have you ever wondered why the book of Exodus is called Exodus? Because the story of their exiting Egypt. Well, somebody smiled just a little bit this morning. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. Everybody said salvation. Salvation. Salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And you could go through the chapter, the rest of that chapter, we look at this again as a shadow. Amen. Here is Israel. If you kind of look at a map, if you Google it out, just Google out the Exodus from Egypt. It will actually show you the map of where it actually took place. They have verified it. They've gone underneath the water. They found chariot wheels. They actually found one that was gilded with gold, and it still is there underneath the water. And there are scattered debris like a catastrophe had taken place on both sides of the water. And this is the Red Sea. And over here are a lot of mountains, mountain peaks and all that. There's a trail that went through there and a large beach. And Israel left Egypt, and they ended up on this large beach. The Lord led them there. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. God hardened his heart. God did this, amen, to give us an example. Now, can you imagine the energy and the time and all the effort that the Lord put into all of this, all of these events, 400 years in bondage, and then all of the things that led up to this to say that baptism is not important. Amen. That it really doesn't matter how you're baptized. It doesn't matter if you're baptized. Unfortunately, there are many that believe that. But the Lord has given us a shadow here, and it is a shadow of good things to come. Who does Moses represent? The leader that brought them down to this beach here, where there was only water in front of them, mountains behind them, and only one little passageway to get out. Who was it that led them there by the hand of the Lord? It was Moses. And Moses, we understand today that Moses was a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ. Moses represented the deliverer who came to deliver the people out of bondage. Amen. And not only was he going to deliver them and set them free, he was going to destroy every single enemy that would come against them. He said it. I read it this morning. The Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more for a week or two, right? For a month or two, or for a year, or for 5 years. And then after a while, your experience with God starts to go down, and you stop everything. You don't pray anymore. You don't go to church anymore. Hey, I'm telling you what we received from the salvation of the Lord is enough to keep us all the way through to forever. Praise God. Forever. You're not going to see them again forever. What an exciting thing it is to think about freedom. Why do you think there are many people that are desperately trying to get into our country? And I'm not going to go into that situation, but they are afraid of being killed. They are hungry. They don't know what else to do, and so they get out and they go. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you what, it's a beautiful thing to understand freedom and plenty, and no one oppressing you and making you do things that you don't want to do. That's what's made America so very great. Amen. Because we believe in freedom for individuals. That's why. It's got its flaws. But I'm telling you what this morning, it's the greatest thing going right now on this earth. Praise God. I don't know what it's like to be afraid of a gang coming up and busting open the door and killing my family. I cannot understand or wrap my mind around people that live that way. But there are people that live that way. People that live in fear of their government, that they will be thrown into a prison where they will be tortured and killed and made to do hard labor. Amen. I don't understand that. I can't wrap my head around it. But the Jews understood it because they had been in bondage for 400 years. And every generation said, we've always lived this way. We've always done it this way. And so we're just going to continue on. But all of a sudden, a deliverer comes. All of a sudden, a man steps onto the scene and says, God is going to deliver us. And so they got to this place, and you know the story. God parted the waters and made a road through the middle of the sea. And you can see where it's at. Just Google it out. You'll find the information. It's there for everyone to see. And he said, God's going to completely deliver you from everything. It's the ultimate deliverance. And we are delivered from Egypt, which represents the world. Amen. Egypt represents the world. And the idols and the worship of Egypt represents idolatry, which is sin. Amen. Egypt represents bondage. It represents a pie in the sky salvation, where the only good thing that they have to look forward to is a sarcophagus in a tomb somewhere. That's all they've got to look forward to. And you know what? Every one of us was in that place at one point in your life. We were in Egypt. We had nowhere to turn. We had nowhere to go. Amen. But the deliverer came. Praise God. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, we're talking about shadows of baptism. And it says this, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And since Moses is the shadow of Jesus Christ, amen, when they passed through this water, you know what God could have done? God could have taken them another route. There could have been another route up here or down here. The Lord could have brought them to mountains and parted the mountains. And when the Egyptians came, the mountains would fall on them. But God chose to bring them through the water. Amen. And it was the water that saved them. They were baptized unto Moses in the cloud. That's representative of the Spirit. And they were baptized unto Moses in the sea. And so when the water came crashing down, it literally cleansed Egypt off of Israel. It remitted Egypt from their lives. It took it away. It did not give it any more power. Praise God. Well, I'm telling you what, there were some that took Egypt with them through the water. And they begin to say it was this golden calf that has brought us out of Egypt. Only 6 weeks after they were through there. But I'm telling you, we've got to get a hold of what happens at baptism. Everything that could destroy us. When we go through the water, he said, you will not see it again forever. And the only way you'll ever see it again is if you pick it up and take it with you through the water. Praise God. Just going to hang on to this attitude. I'm just going to hang on to this sin. I'm going to hang on, and I'll just make excuses for it. But I'm telling you what, God gave us complete, total victory. Is that exciting this morning? I'm excited about that. And so it became a shadow for us to look at. And then in Exodus 30 and verse 20 and 21. Brother Reed, would you get that for me this morning?
So they shall wash their hands and their feet, that they die not. And it shall be a statute forever for them, ever to them, even to him and to his seed throughout their generation. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
Did you read verse 21? All right, that's what I need right there. All right, when they go into the tabernacle, what was the tabernacle? The tabernacle was this right here. It was a fence made to specific dimensions, and the Bible lays out the different fence posts, if you want to call it that. There's one there and another there and another there, and all the way around, and one student of the tabernacle said that there is the same number of fence posts as generations from Adam to Jesus Christ. Amen. And it represents Jesus. Everywhere you look in the Old Testament, it represents Jesus. And this tabernacle represents him. And I won't go into great detail here this morning, but the comer would come with sin, and he would come with the sacrifice. And I talked about the sacrifice just a little bit earlier. And he would come with the sacrifice, and the first place he would come to was the altar where the sacrifice was killed and the blood was shed. That sacrifice represents Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we come. He died on Calvary, and we must die at the altar of repentance. Somebody said amen. Amen. And that's a lifelong situation. We need to go back to that altar time and time and time again. And then they would go to a place called the brazen laver of water. And it was like a big pool. It was round. It was made out of brass. When Solomon built the temple, the altar of washing, the brazen laver, was some 4 inches thick and quite a few feet in diameter. I don't have the dimensions, but it's written in the scripture. And it was cast into the clay, and they poured it in one pour. Amen. They poured that gigantic thing in one pour, and it had all kinds of carvings, and it was a beautiful thing. And so the Bible says here, when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, they shall wash with water that they die not. Or when they come near to the altar to minister, to burn offering made by fire unto the Lord, they shall wash their hands and their feet that they die not. You know what? We can't minister at the altar. We can't do anything here. We can't go in to the holy place. And we certainly can't go into the holiest of holies unless we are clean. Amen. We can't go in with dirty stains all over us. We can't go in halfway and happen chance. But there is a method that God provided for them to be able to pass through the veil and to go into the holiest of holies. Praise God. And that was, they had to wash at the water. They had to wash at the water. It was not you know, something that they could take or leave, but it was a requirement, amen, that they wash at the water. And we know that the law has been done away with, but we also know that these are shadows and figures of things to come. And what a great place it is to come into the holy place. That's where we're at this morning. Amen. Amen. The things that were in this temple should be in our temple. And there was the veil. That's the understanding of the mighty God in Christ. Amen. It was made of pure wool, and it was colored with three colors, red, blue, and purple. And the red was made of earthworms, representing of the earth or humanity. And it was blue, which represents the Spirit of God. And you put blue and red together and it makes purple. All through the tabernacle, in the hangings and everything, it was red and blue and purple. And God could have chosen anything else, but he didn't, because God is a God of patterns. God is a God that he has shown us through these patterns of things to come. Praise God. And if we were to go in our day, if we still had this tabernacle, if we did not go to the altar, but we came up here and came into the holy place, we would die immediately. God would kill them. Did you hear that this morning? God would kill them. And you say, well, that's Old Testament. It was hard. The New Testament is different. Well, I'm telling you, you need to read your Bible a little bit more, because it says that every transgression in the Old Testament was brought with judgment. And it says, how much more sore punishment should you and I receive when we transgress and walk upon the blood of the covenant? It's more serious in the New Testament than it is in the Old Testament. You know why? Because we have come through the veil and we have come into the presence of God and we have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it is a serious thing. Now, all have sinned. We've all fallen short after we found ourselves in that holiest of holies. But I'm telling you what, the Bible says there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What a glorious salvation we have this morning. Praise God. If you have not been baptized, I'm telling you, you need to get baptized. And I could look at other scriptures. Naaman the Syrian was healed of his leprosy. Leprosy represents sin. He was healed of his leprosy when he went down into the water seven times. Praise God. Seven is God's number of completion. And the baptism in Jesus' name completes us. Praise God. It is a complete cleansing of all sin. And Gideon and his crew were tested at the water. Oh, we could go on and on. Amen. But it was one of the very first things. In fact, it says God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Amen. The earth was covered with water. God could have done it any other way, but I'm telling you what, he divided the water from the land. Amen. And we are divided from the world by the water. Praise God. And so we know that the law was done away with. We don't have these sacrifices anymore. We don't go to a literal temple anymore. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Inside this holy place was the altar of incense, which represents our prayers. Somebody said amen. Amen. Represents our prayers. That needs to be in our lives. It had the table of shewbread, which is a representation of the Word of God. We need to have the Word of God in our hearts. Amen. It had the golden candlestick. And the golden candlestick was to be burning continuously. And that is our light to the world. Praise God. We are to be a light to our world and a witness unto all nations. Praise God. That's what he designed it for, was for our salvation. Well, let's look at a few scriptures here this morning. John chapter 3 and verse 5. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus brought up the subject of baptism. John 3 and 5. Brother Reed. Everybody said water. Water. Some said that was embryonic fluid at birth. But that's not water, that's embryonic fluid.
That's right.
There's a special word for that word water, and you know what it means? Water.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Water, as in a well or a river. He's talking about water baptism, and he said you cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit. You're not going to enter into Canaan's land until you are born of the water. Amen. Cleansed by the water. You're not going to come to a new earth. Amen. Unless you pass through the water. It's shadows. It's shadows of things to come. Well, somebody help me here this morning. Mark 16 and 16. We should know these by heart. Amen. Mark 16 and 16. Are you there, Gavin? All right. He's putting notes down. Read for us, Brother Reed. He that believeth and is baptized. Amen. And so Jesus made it very clear that baptism was essential. We cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless we are cleansed by the water. And it makes sense, because if we were not cleansed and we could go to heaven, it wouldn't be heaven. Amen. It just wouldn't be heaven. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be with those that have been washed. And then Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Amen. Somebody could quote that this morning, I'm sure. And then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now look at this here this morning. Repent, that's the altar of sacrifice. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Be baptized unto Moses, he said. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. What a wonderful salvation that we have today. And he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry that you don't believe it, but it's in the Word of God. We're using scriptures here this morning. And if you've got some other scriptures, I'd like to see it. But the Bible does say, and the ones that come to me most often is it where the jailer said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And that's in the scriptures in a few places. But notice that when he got them out of the jail, he took them that night and baptized them. Amen. The apostles baptized everywhere they went because it was a teaching of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 8 and verse 16. Amen. Philip went down to Samaria and preached the word unto them, and they believed. Amen. If you really believe this morning, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to follow through with the words of Jesus Christ. We can't really say that we're a believer when we don't follow His word. Amen. Especially when it comes to salvation. Acts chapter 8 and verse 16.
For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. And so all of Samaria believed the preaching of Philip, and the Bible says that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the disciples came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And when they prayed for them, they received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, through the rest of the chapter. You're only two chapters away. Read for us.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they had heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they prayed they him to tarry certain days.
All right, he baptized them in the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? Jesus. Amen. It's the name Jesus. And so he commanded them. Why? Because we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Acts chapter 19. That's nine chapters. A journey of nine chapters here this morning. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. Read for us.
Finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. He said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus.
All right. Praise God. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, we could accurately say this morning that they were rebaptized because they had been baptized by John the Baptist. And how did John baptize? He said, do you want to be baptized? Yes, I want to be baptized. Amen. You've got to believe on the Lord Jesus. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus? All right, then we're going to baptize you. And do you believe on the Lord Jesus? All right, we're going to baptize you too. We're going to baptize you twice. Praise God. How about you? He's going down a couple times too. And we're going to baptize you. Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. That's how they did it. Praise God. That's how John did it. And so, why in the world would they need to get rebaptized? If John's baptism was enough and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is enough, why did they get rebaptized? It's simply because the apostles taught them and commanded them to do that. And when they saw the scriptures, they said, we need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Ghost fell. Praise God. They were already in a place of repentance. Amen. And when they got baptized in Jesus' name, the Holy Ghost fell on them and they were born of the water and of the Spirit.
Amen.
One last scripture, Acts 22. Got to go three chapters over. Amen. I'm trying to give you as many scriptures as I can this morning in the limited time that we have. Some of you may have been watching the clock. Look at that. Isn't that amazing? Acts 22 and 16. Praise God. Right on time. Acts 22, 16. Read for us, Brother Reed.
And now why tarriest thou?
Why tarriest thou?
Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen. Calling on the name of the Lord. Arise and be baptized and what? Wash away Egypt off of your back. Wash the world of their sin. Wash your personal sin. Amen. So that you can be clean and come into the presence of God. It's over and over and over in the scriptures. And who's this talking about? It's talking about the Apostle Paul when he was knocked off of his high horse, and the voice said unto him, it's not, you're fighting against me, it's hard to kick against the pricks. And he said, Lord, who are you? That was capital L-O-R-D by a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish Pharisee, a teacher of the law that understood the oneness of God. Amen. And they only believed in one God. And when he said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard to kick against the pricks. And he went to Ananias's house, or he went to the house, and Ananias came to the house, and he said, why wait? Arise and be baptized. Why? To wash away your sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. You know how we call on the name of the Lord? We call on the name of the Lord when we do this right here. I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And we invoke the name of Jesus in baptism. We don't invoke a Trinitarian God, but we invoke the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is no place in the Bible where they were baptized any other way than in the name of Jesus. Well, Pastor, I think I can make it. I've got a boat, but it's not as big as that one. And I think I might make it. Listen to me. Don't go down the road of the foolish. Amen.
That's right.
Give your life to God completely and wholly. Young people, give your life to God. Understand now. You're old enough to begin to understand what took place in baptism. Amen. It wasn't just something that you did because your friends were doing it. Amen. It washed away your sins. Praise God. That's why I like to see the children receive the Holy Ghost, because then we know they're very sincere, and when they're baptized, they're finished with it. Praise God. Finished with that part of it. Amen. There's a lot of road ahead. Praise God. But I'm telling you what, we've got what we need this morning. We've got everything we need in the great salvation that God has given to us. Aren't you thankful for it this morning?
Amen.
If you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, I beg you this morning, open up the Word of God with a sincere heart and just say, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. It's not enough to be a church member. It's not enough to just come and hear sermons. It's not enough just to give your tithes and offerings. Amen. And everything's going to be all right. We've got to go on from here and understand Egypt hasn't got anything to do with us anymore. You know where we're headed? We're headed to the promised land.
Amen.
And we're in the wilderness out here. God could have done it a completely different way. They could have been there in a very short time. And in fact, actually, they were there in a very short time. I think it was just a matter of a few months, and they were standing on the border of the promised land. But because of unbelief now, they had to wander for 40 years. It's not the will of God for us to wander for 40 years. To continually have to deal with the same thing over and over and over again. What we've got to do is go back and remember what God did for us. Amen. And not fall into the trap that they fell into. And only 6 weeks later, amen, we're saying this is the God that brought us out of Egypt. Amen. And they were worshiping a golden calf and got their mind completely off of what the Lord had done for them and who it was that gave them the Word of God. God had to open the ground and swallow them up. God had to send snakes in their midst, and many died of the snakes. Amen. God had to send quail, and they died by guzzling quail meat, raw quail meat, and they died from it. Amen. They were lustful. They were stiff-necked. They were hard-hearted. And yet the salvation that God gave to them was enough. Everybody said, it's enough. It's enough. We can make it all the way. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be trials and tribulations. There will be. And the Bible calls them fiery trials. But I'm telling you what, we've got everything we need to make it all the way. Let's stand together this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is right. The Word of God will stand forever. And I'm thankful this morning for the Word of God. Let's pray together right now. Lord, we give you thanks this morning for the touch of your Spirit. We give you praise this morning, Lord, for your hand that's upon us. In Jesus' name, through baptism, our sins have been washed away. And we can live in peace. We can live with a hope that the promised land is not far away. But we're coming to that place in the name of Jesus this morning. In the name of Jesus this morning, we give you thanks, we give you praise. We lift up your name this morning in the sanctuary. Praise God, praise God, praise God.